Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of the OKR's Q&A podcast, also known as the OKR Corral, where OKR insight is the king. I'm your host, Tim Meinhardt, President and CEO of Attruity, an OKR consultancy headquartered in our nation's capital. Before we begin, if you're an OKR fan and enjoy our podcast, please subscribe, leave a review, and explore our website at attruity1.com. And finally, should you have a burning question you'd like addressed in future episodes, please drop us a note at contact@attruity1.com. In this exemplary episode, we have the pleasure of spending some time with Brigadier General Gregory Tuhill. Spoiler alert, if you're an executive looking to take your organization to the next level, this is a must-listen-to podcast. General Tuhill is no stranger to running very large operations and no stranger to OKRs, as the interview will certainly bear out. This discussion is simply outstanding in its depth, breadth, and insight. You will never look at OKRs the same after you finish this podcast. I promise you. He talks about how OKRs can be applied in the federal government as well as the private sector. We are so honored to have General Tuhill to be a part of our podcast. I'll let the general provide a bit about his background, as you will hear, but if you want to know more about his journey, just Google Greg Tuhill, and that's T-O-U-H-I-L-L. General Tuhill is currently the president of AppGate Federal Group, focused on cybersecurity and advanced solutions. Everyone, you will truly find this a fabulous podcast. So grab that favorite beverage, find a comfortable spot, put in those earbuds, and enjoy this truly memorable podcast. Well, Greg, welcome to the program today. And we had a chance, we were speaking offline briefly. I'd love for our audience to get a sense of who you are and maybe speak briefly about your military background and then a little bit about what you're doing today and what excites you as we move forward in 2021.
Well, thanks, Tim. I really appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation with you and our audience today. I'm Greg Tuhill. I'm a retired Air Force Brigadier General. I'm a cybersecurity professional and technologist. And during my military career, which spanned a little bit over 30 years of active duty service, I was very fortunate to be a technologist for the Air Force. I was educated at Penn State University through the ROTC program, had further communications and electronics training through the Air Force. As a matter of fact, you know, they take a second lieutenant, and we went through about a year-long school that taught us everything we needed to know about electronics, communications, satellite systems. I even learned how to control aircraft with the air traffic controller folks, radio communications, computers. And then during the course of my career, I got into that communications and computer track. I did a lot of basic NUG work back in the 80s, serving as a software programmer, a network manager. I've pulled cables, set up servers, been a system administrator, and then I went into the command track. I've commanded two squadrons, a group, which is the next higher echelon. I was a wing commander. I ended up commanding the 81st Training Wing, which had about 12,000 airmen in that unit. So think of that as not only a base with 18 C-130s, four C-21s, but also a small college that graduated about 26,000 airmen in 32 different college accredited courses of study during my tenure there. I've had several combat tours, 3.5 years downrange, and culminating as the General representing the United States in Kuwait as the senior defense official, defense attaché. And in my last assignment, I was the director of command control communications and cyber systems for United States Transportation Command, which is one of the major combatant commands of the United States military, where our team was recognized with the Rowlett Award as the best cybersecurity program in the U.S. government. And that led to me getting recruited to continue my service to the country as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Cybersecurity and Communications at the United States Department of Homeland Security, where I concurrently served as the director of the NCIC, the National Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center. Gotta tell you, I did not make up that acronym, but I just had to live with it. But in that organization, I had leadership responsibilities over the United States CERT, the Industrial Control Systems CERT, the Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, a $6 billion cyber improvement program for the government, and the National Communication System, and a whole bunch of other acronymed organizations.
Wow.
And then finally, my federal service concluded when, shortly after I was appointed by President Obama to become the first federal chief information security officer of the United States government. And I did that until I retired a second time from federal service, joined the faculty of Carnegie Mellon University's Heinz College, and ultimately helped start up a new business, which we call now AppGate. It's a cybersecurity and advanced technologies company. And been a great career thus far, but as we mentioned in the pre-brief, it isn't over yet. So keep it on going.
I love it. Well, first, Greg, thank you for your service. You and I did talk off online, and for the I have a very special part in my heart for all the veterans that have served our nation and allowed me to be able to progress in life as I have. So thank you again for your service.
Thank you. It was an honor to serve, and yeah, we're still serving.
I love it. I love it. It's fantastic. And, you know, and acting as the president of AppGate, you know, you've been using OKRs now for quite a while.
Yep.
Can you tell our audience how you got introduced to OKRs and kind of how you got started?
Well, thank you. You know, OKRs has been really hitting the mainstream after John Doerr published a book called Measure What Matters.
Right.
And, you know, I read the John Doerr book and I said, well, this is not something new to me. I've been using that OKR, the, you know, objectives and key results methodology. We've been using that for years. And while Doerr makes kind of a derisive comment in the book about the government would never be able to implement this because government's built for inefficiency, that's balderdash. You know, in the military, I was using OKRs with great success. And I think using that type of methodology, which, you know, kind of evolved through lots of different iterations over the years, that helped me achieve a lot of the objectives that I wanted to achieve on behalf of the mission, and made me very successful in my military career. And I've got plenty of vignettes that I can share with you and the audience on how I applied OKRs during my public service, as well as what I'm doing now in the private sector with AppGate, and how it's paying off for us.
Yeah, we actually have a sister organization at Trudy Federal that we've just launched with a absolute direct focus toward the federal marketplace. We think that some things need to be rebuilt a little bit. And with that in mind, we thought OKRs would be a nice thing to be able to offer to the federal government. And thank you for that. So let's go to kind of an advice column perspective. What key advice would you give to any executive that is considering starting, and I'll call it an OKR journey, and possibly implementing this methodology of OKRs?
Well, I do think that it's important to get in the right frame of mind. to go do this. Anybody who has gone through different management or leadership courses reads an awful lot of different materials and lots of different opinions. But I think getting in the right frame of mind is critically important. And for me, I think it's really important to remember that there's a difference between leadership and management. And really successful executives in both public and private sector need to get a grip on this first. And I contend that managers manage stuff and leaders lead people. And to be a really successful executive, you need to realize you've got to be both. You have to be able to lead people and be able to motivate them, to be able to get them going in the right direction, to foster innovation, to build cultures, and to be able to do all of the leadership things that are needed to help people be the best they can possibly be. And on the same token, managers manage stuff. So you have to be able to effectively manage processes, to build out those engineered and tried and true processes that are continually evolving, and you're always constantly trying to make them better. Mm-hmm. So melding them together is, I think, a critical attribute of every senior executive. And once you get over yourself and realize that you've got to be really good at both, then you're in the right position to use the OKR methodology to lead your team well and to manage them as they and their processes towards ultimate organizational success. And if you're starting on the journey, go take a look at John Doerr's book. Doerr spelled D-O-E-R-R, Measure What Matters. It's available in a lot of places. But don't limit yourself to just that. Go and take a look online. There's plenty of resources online as well. Do your homework. And if you have the means, ask for help. Go talk to people who have already gone on the journey. Go talk to folks who are executive coaches who can specialize in that. And don't wait. Get started today.
I love it. I love it. Well, you hit on several great points there. And I'm sure my audience, especially executives, you know, this is a little bit of an intimidating thing to say, you know, we're going to make a sincere managerial change on the way we're operating as an organization. And, you know, people get fearful of it. Will it succeed? Will it be flavor of the month? And so, but I do believe that you need to be educated at first. And we love people to become interested and educated here so they understand kind of the nomenclature, what kind of the theory is behind objectives and key results.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tim, I think you've hit on something. You know, as you go and you want to get educated, you know, you wouldn't hire somebody without checking references. Why would you want to implement a new technique for leading and managing your business without checking references on that too? I think it's really important for folks to go out there and check the references. Talk to somebody who's been on that journey. Find out what they learned along the way, because it is a learning process and you're constantly refining and making yourself better along the way. And checking references is a really good way of helping get in that right mindset and poising yourself for success.
Terrific. So, all right. So this is kind of a fun question I ask folks. Think back for a second and say, okay, what would you share with us that you would say is your biggest success with OKRs?
Gee whiz. You know, we had a great year at AppGate with my team, and we implemented OKRs in 2020. Even before the pandemic hit, we were, hey, we're going to go move forward with that. And our CEO was really kind of behind that initiative. And he said, all right, guys, we want to go do this. I'm all in. He purchased us all the books so we could, you know, the executive team could go out, and you know, all the different operating agencies. And, you know, for my team, you know, we had a 266% growth in 2020. That's great. And that helped a lot. But I think the number one success I had was back in the Air Force, where I, I came back from a combat deployment and was nominated for promotion. So I ended up being reassigned into command of Keesler Air Force Base down in Biloxi, Mississippi, also known at that time as Ground Zero for Hurricane Katrina. I had been educated at Keesler because that's the home of our technical training for electronics, computers, cyber systems, radio, all of the electronics, and 32 different career fields trained at Keesler. Having been assigned there before, I knew what that base looked like before Katrina, and I arrived after the storm, and after they had already had months of, trying to clean up.
Right.
So here I come to a base that's had over $1 billion worth of damage in a community that has just been wiped clean.
Devastating.
It was absolutely, it looked like a nuclear bomb had gone off over southern Mississippi. And, New Orleans rightfully gets a lot of attention, for the damage that Katrina caused there. But southern Mississippi, arguably got hit harder because of where they were with the storm. And God bless the southern Mississippians, because they didn't want a hand out. They just wanted a hand up, and they were working hard. But I had, as the commander of the base, I still had a mission to accomplish. But we recognized we had other issues that we had to address as well. And that's really where we used OKRs. And complexity, I think, kills ambition. It just smothers a lot of other things. So one of the great things about OKRs, the objectives and key results, right, is if you keep it simple, you can follow a strategy all the way down to individual task approach. And that resonated extremely well in the military. And I used it in virtually every military assignment I was involved in. You establish the vision, the strategy, and then the plans on how to get there. And how to make sure that you achieve those plans to meet your strategic objective is really where OKRs can be a force multiplier. Yep. And at Keesler Air Force Base, and you can go into your favorite search engine, I think it's still visible out there, you can see that I launched three objectives. And these were my OKRs, and then they trickled down throughout the whole organization. And I even put it on my commander's coin that I would hand out to high achievers.
Yeah.
And it was a thematic thing where my three OKRs were, I got to rebuild the base, I got to reload the Air Force, and I got to renew the community. Wow. So every airman on that base, all the civilian employees, all our contractors, they knew that we were rebuilding, reloading, and renewing. And they could track, okay, my job, I support this particular OKR, or maybe all three. And it was not just their job, but it was their activities, the things that they had to do. We were rebuilding that base. We had over $1 billion worth of damage. The day before the storm, we had 1,600 military family houses. The day after the storm, less than 200 were still inhabitable.
Oh.
So we were tearing down destroyed properties and rebuilding. We had to reload the Air Force because the Air Force training mission wasn't going away. Mm. We still had, with our 18 C-130s, the Hurricane Hunters, and the cargo missions that we were running, that wasn't going away. We still had to fly those airplanes. We had a hospital. It was the third largest hospital in the Air Force. That wasn't going away. That mission, we still had to reload the Air Force with airmen. And we had a pipeline of students. 26,000 airmen graduated in college accredited courses while I was there. And then third, we had to renew the community. We were the largest employer in, largest single employer in southern Mississippi, 14 counties. and people's livelihoods depended on us and the economic impact that we brought to the community. And the community was rebuilding too, while we were rebuilding. So we had to carefully choreograph how we impacted our community. And we gave incentives, for example, to some of our students. You know, these airmen that are coming out of basic training, we said, you know, normally you had to stay on base for a couple of weeks until we made sure that you were squared away. But you know what? We started with my command chief. I said, we've got to get these airmen out there to help pick up all the rubbish that is out there still from the storm and, you know, help make the community outside the gate just as strong as the tight bonds we had inside the gate. And those three OKRs, Tim, they trickled down throughout the whole organization. And as I was working with my subordinate colonels and the commanders that were under my command, we were able to deliver great results. And after I left, you know, it always happens in the military. You've got a very short command tour, and the guy or gal who comes in after you gets to reap the awards. And that's exactly what happened, because after I left, the next guys were able there to receive the award as the best base in the Air Force. And actually, they won the best in the Department of Defense. So, wow.
What a success. Great story. What a great story. That is fantastic. And, you know, something just stuck out to me. And I think it's the simplistic nature of OKRs. You know, it's simple. It's not overcomplicated. And when you have that many people that you have to get actually invested in overall objectives, being able to put those objectives out there and then being able to let people do what they do best in order to help everybody achieve it, I think is its superpower of OKRs.
I agree. And, you know, everybody needs to have a piece of the ownership. And if they feel disconnected, it's not going to work. And with that particular example, it didn't matter what job you were in. You could identify with one of the commander's OKRs. You know, the guy, I was the top of the food chain for that mission, and I was the base commander. And you were able to say, hey, I helped support reloading the Air Force by training these airmen. Or, I, you know, in my off-duty time, I'm helping renew the community by volunteering to, you know, help do demolition of properties or just cleaning up the beach. You know, all of those type of things, it shows a linkage between every single task on base all the way up to the overarching grand strategy of the organization and how we supported the national defense strategy.
Right. And, you know, it's about that buy-in, and it's about, you know, buy-in is knowing, you know, in today's world especially, people don't want to come to a job and just do a job. They want to understand what part are they playing in that organization's success. And I think, you know, you've mentioned that everyone wanted to be a part of that success. And so everyone begins to pitch in, whether it's their actual job or helping somebody else. And I think having that clear definition, you know, that sitting at the top, knowing that this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, not just what I'm doing here, but why for that better purpose.
Yeah, I think that from the military background, you know, we focus on the leadership, but we don't forget about the importance of management either. Mm-hmm. And I find that in dealing with folks in the private sector, and you know, a lot of my students at Carnegie Mellon will come in, and maybe it's a little bit different balance there, but the core lessons and how to use OKRs, it doesn't change if you're in public or private sector. People want to feel valued. They want to make a difference. And they tend to go to organizations that whose cultures, whose values are very similar to theirs. And yeah, you know, we're seeing with Generation X a great movement afoot where folks in Generation X, for example, while money makes a difference, it is not the difference for them. What makes a difference for Generation X and for people like me, and I'm a boomer, is I want to make a difference in the world. And if you're able to show how your OKRs are not only making your strategic objectives achieved, but you also put into there showing how you're making the world a better place, that's really attractive for folks. And by having those OKRs and being able to measure how you're making a positive difference, people get enthused and you find that it actually accelerates your organization. And it also helps build the culture for positive change that's going to pay off richly in strategic ways in the future, and how you can recruit as well as how you retain the talent you want.
Right. Wow, Greg, powerful message. Thank you for sharing with our audience. That's one of the best success stories. And I will say this, you have made a difference in this world. I'm taken back by that, by our conversation. All right. So let me ask, this is what I'm dying to ask. So you're an executive and, you know, we talk to executives all the time. And what would you tell them as what they should expect or not expect if they wanted to look at an OKR journey with their organization?
Well, if you're not failing to achieve your goals and some of your OKRs, you're not trying hard enough with your OKRs. I think that a lot of folks are timid, and some executives shoot too low. They go out there and they say, oh, well, you know, I grew up in an organization where if I didn't make my sales number, I was gone. So, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hedge my bets, and I'm going to make sure that I only put together an OKR that I know I'm going to achieve. And if you use OKRs to hit your targets all the time, then you're never going to grow. You should be looking at, you know, understanding what you're reasonably accepted standards are, but then you got to raise the bar, but you have to be realistic about it as well. Right. And I find a lot of folks, they play it a little bit too tight to the chest, and they're just trying to impress themselves. Where the whole purpose of using OKRs is to foster strategic success. Not just operational success, but strategic success. And by setting goals that are stretch goals and recognizing, hey, I may not get there, but if I'm doing better, you know, as a result of paying attention to this, if I'm doing better than I am doing now, that's something that could be good. And, one of the things that Dorr points out in his book that I think is really good is the fact that you don't necessarily want to link your OKRs to compensation, bonuses, and things of that nature. What you want to do is you want to use it as something that helps improve the elasticity of the organization, that can help it grow and help the people grow too. Right. And, you can set an OKR, an objective or a key result, and say, hey, I want to improve my workforce and its ability to do certain things because, you know what, I may develop a new product. I may develop a new capability, a service or something in the future. And that timeline is 2 to 3 years out, but I got to start building that pipeline now. And I can use an OKR to help develop that with a strategic result in mind. It may not show an immediate payoff now, but it's going to have a strategic payoff later. And decoupling OKRs from compensation and bonuses is a very healthy thing. And I think that's something people ought to be paying attention to as they're researching their OKR journey. The moment that you couple it all together with bonuses and compensation is kind of like putting gum in the works. You know, you're going to derail your journey of strategic growth and improvement.
Wow, Greg, thank you. That is tremendous insight. And, you know, we're a big believer in giving those people the latitude and the flexibility to be their best, you know, and sometimes people don't even know what their best is until they themselves put it out there and say, hey, mm-hmm. I'm going to shoot for Mars here and I'm going to make this happen. And so, you know, we have a phrase that, you know, an objective should, you know, be aspirational and a key result should possibly scare you a little bit, but excite you a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And then further, Tim, you know, I'm sure you do this and a lot of folks do. I certainly do, but some people don't. And it's once you're at the end of that cycle, you know, if it's the end of the calendar or fiscal year, review what you've done. And just, you know, celebrate the things that you did great. And, you know, from an executive, you know, senior executive standpoint, don't be the Debbie Downer that says, well, okay, so that means, you know, you achieved these many objectives and key results. So I guess we set the bar too low for you, you know. celebrate success for crying out loud. And then further, take a look and say, okay, well, where we didn't hit our targets, why not? You know, was it that we set the bar too high or were there external factors that prevented us? Be really introspective, but celebrate success, but don't necessarily mourn failures either. Right. Because they probably aren't really crushing failures. They're learning, they're learning experiences. So be very introspective. Don't call anything really a failure. Say, okay, well, here's the opportunity for next time. And what did we learn from this? And did we in fact have the right target in mind? You know, maybe we just didn't have the right targets in mind. But you know, it's a great learning opportunity at the end of every cycle. And for us at AppGate, we sit down and we go over the OKRs. We make them public to everybody in the company. So, you know, my team knows what my OKRs are, and you know, it's got to be very transparent. But from a senior executive team, we measure and we go and we track and say, okay, here's where all the interrelationships are. And we go and we pay attention to these. And at least once a month, we're looking at them.
Yeah.
I think it's been very helpful at AppGate. And I really like what our CEO is doing and the whole executive team in sharing all of the different OKRs and making them very transparent amongst the entire company.
Well, that to me, that's the superpower of OKRs as well. Everybody getting a chance to see what everybody else is doing so that they can help and participate. And it fosters that buy-in, it fosters that team feeling that ultimately you're one group heading in one direction trying to accomplish the things that the organization wants to accomplish now and in the future. Well, Greg, this has been fantastic. So I want to be able to give you one last thought here or one last piece of insight that you might want to give an executive that's looking to do this. And any last bits of advice?
Well, the first thing is be not afraid. You know, we've got a lot of folks that look at this as a technique that they say, oh, well, this is a new fad. It may be a new label, but this type of leadership and management style has been around for a long time, well before John Doerr's book came out. And, you know, John attributes this to Andy Grove and Intel. Nice try, John, you know, work that maybe that's your aperture. You know, we've been doing this a lot longer, many of us, but it is in fact a methodology that adds value when it's properly done. And I do encourage that anybody who's starting the journey, do your homework. Read the books like you and I have both been discussing. Go online, go take a look at some of the journeys that are out there because there's a lot of online resources where folks have been sharing their online sharing online their experiences with it. But don't wait. Start your journey now and start thinking about what is it really that we're trying to achieve? It doesn't matter what organization you're in. You got a mission. What's your mission? What's your vision? Where do you want to be? And then think about, well, if this is the vision, this is where I want to be. What's the strategy? How can I get there? And then further from that strategy, start decomposing down. And as you start decomposing, you're going to find that it can be pretty simple. You know, you can find that you can rebuild, renew, and reload, you know, make it simple for folks. And then all that work breakdown structure, the strategy, the task, it all starts falling into place. And you'll find that you and your organization can continue to grow. And then the final get off the stage is don't be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. And I have found through the school of hard knocks that asking for help is how I got to be a general in the United States Air Force, despite not being a pilot because I wore glasses. Don't be afraid to ask for help, because a lot of people along the way are willing to share their journey, share their lessons learned, and help you be even better than you thought you ever could be.
Well, Greg, first off, again, I want to thank you for your service. This has been truly an epic episode, I can tell you, with our podcast. You know, we actually have folks that, you know, have talked about their journey and what they've experienced. And I've always encouraged people to listen to some of our other podcasts, because everybody goes over their own journey. I will say that today, this is a absolute must listen to. And I want to thank you so much for gracing yourself with us today. And I hope you have a fabulous 2021. And let's stay in touch, Greg.
Thanks, Tim. I'm looking forward to it. Be safe, everyone.
Thank you.